All right, well, let's get our notes out, and we'll get at finishing up what we started last week. So I think, is this the first time since we've been doing this that I didn't finish my message all in 1 week? I don't know. I must be getting comfortable and relaxed. So the messages are getting longer again. All right, hang on. I forewarned you, when we get back together again, you might just plan on, bring your lunch. All right, bring your lunch and we'll just sit down and enjoy some time together. That'll be a blessing. So let's start with Romans chapter 12. Again, grab your sheets. Maybe I've sent them out again on email. And we've gone through the first couple of points. We'll do a quick review and then look specifically at point number 3 tonight. But let's start in Romans chapter 12 tonight. That really was the theme verse as we look at a number of verses in the New Testament dealing with our relationship with one another as a church family, with fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 5 of Romans 12, so we being many, talking about the many members, we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. That's the theme, members one of another. That unique phrase in a wonderful picture shows us that we really belong to each other. We are members one of another. As I had mentioned under point number 1, no member can function effectively by himself. You need the other members, and I need the other members as well, and the other members need you. And in fact, in the church relationship, when we lose a member, there is something lost to the whole church family. It is always a sad day when for whatever reason, and it may sometimes be even when we lose someone because God has directed them to go on, to serve him in another place, in another location, and yet there's something lost. Now, the joy of this is, in a scenario like that in particular, but always in every scenario, God, as the head of our church, Christ in particular, does amazing work to fill in the gap, to bring in other members, and he makes a body that's unique to our fellowship, that has a personality that's very much real. And what a joy it is that he takes care of us and watches over us. But he wants us to never think of ourselves just as some individual in a church, but a member of a church. We're a part of this functioning body, and so we each have a role that plays very, very much in particular for you individually to help the body grow, to be a blessing, spiritual blessing to one another. We are members one another. I can't do Christianity, if I can put it that way, without you. And you can't do it without me. Isn't that interesting how God's put that together? And it brings for a wonderful fellowship and camaraderie. I think maybe as just a simple, quick illustration, in these days when we're apart, I just heard it on the phone this afternoon. I need to get back to church. There's something missing, isn't there? We're not connected, and it's our fellowship, in a very real sense, has been hurt or broken, and that is something that we long for because God has put us together in this body that is something greater than simply the sum of all of our members. It's not just like, I'll list the names of people here. It's not just like Eric plus Carrie plus Justin plus Zach plus Christina plus Abby plus Darcy plus, the other kids. Anyways, and it comes up to 10. No, it doesn't come up to just 10. It comes up to something greater. You sense it and know it when we work together and we see God accomplish some great things through the work of the ministry. We sense and know it, for instance, as we minister to Amanda. There's something greater going on here than just me or you taking a meal to their house. God is using that to minister spiritually and to be a spiritual encouragement. And that is a unique blessing, something that we should cherish and something that we should protect. So there's that theme verse there, and we saw, again, under point number 1, no member can function effectively by himself. You need the other members need you. Now notice in point number 2, all members are valuable. All members are valuable. And we saw that as we really dug into 1 Corinthians chapter 12 last week. And let's go and let's just real quick read those verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And again, you might want to keep your fingers in all three of these passages. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 22. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. They're indispensable, actually, is the idea of that word necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor. There's this wonderful, wonderful caring for every member so that every member is honored and upheld and blessed. In some respects, a wonderful application of this verse. There's no discrimination in the church. We all love one another. What we discriminate against is sin. And we discriminate against the sin in our brother to help him come back to Christ. We want him to fight that sin. If there's a discrimination, that's where we discriminate. But with us, we're valuable to one another. There's no one of greater value before God than another in the church. We're all valuable. As we keep on going, at the end of verse 23, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. We add beauty to the unbeautiful as they become a part of our church family. And I shared several illustrations of that last week. For our comely parts have no need. They don't need some kind of extra blessing or grace. But God hath tempered. He's so blended the body, mixed it together. He mixed it together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism, division. We don't usually use the word schism today. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same, notice, care one for another. We are careful to love one another. So you remember under point number two, be humble, member. None of us should think that our gift or our role or our position is in any way higher than, better than another member. No, we're just members. Who is the great exalted one here? Jesus Christ. He's the head. Therefore, second point under point number two, be a loving member. That's verse 25. Care for one another. And we're going to see this really clearly in the final point here. So remember the equation we gave last week under point number two. Member number one minus member number two equals a disabled member number one and a deformed body. That's an algebra equation for you there. It hurts us when we don't care for one another as we should, all across the board. And those who we may not even understand, they may not even understand and know that they demand attention, need more ministry. We do it in grace and love and care because we want to beautify their life and we want them to become more like their Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why we do it. Point number three, finally. Point number three. Every member should strive for unity. This is the new one for tonight. Every member should strive for unity. Would you join me now in Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll run back in just a minute or I'll comment again on from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Ephesians chapter 4. Notice the list of verses here, and this is a longer section of verses like the 1 Corinthians 12 passages. Verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So as we walk worthy of the vocation that God has called us, we do it with a humble heart, verse 2. But now we do it always striving to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So as the Spirit of God has indwelt each of us, and we live out His fruit in our life, Galatians 5, that fruit demonstrates itself in this wonderful unity. I have a brother or sister in Christ in my church assembly, and he may outside look different than me, and God has designed him that way, and I look different than him. And yet, there is a commonality in that on the inside, we're indwelt by the exact same Spirit, all at the same time. Of all things in our family devotions, just last night, I think it was, we were talking about the Holy Spirit living within us. And little Dory had all the right answers. She knows that, you know, that Jesus is on the inside in her heart. And I was trying to explain to her that We all have all of Jesus, all of us do. Right? Not any of us have just, I've got this part and you've got that part. No, he's not divided. We have all of the Spirit, and that should be a driving force to bring unity to us. As you and as I yield to the Spirit of God, we humbly follow him. It drives our heart together. And so, as at the end of verse 3 says, in the bond of peace. Remember, what are the fruit of the Spirit? Love. Wow. Doesn't that speak of unity, all right? This demonstration of love that we just saw in 1 Corinthians 12. Love, joy. I rejoice in my brethren, joy in the Lord, peace. Yes, we often think of peace as having peace in my heart, that everything's right. I'm right with the Lord. I'm content in the circumstances that he's put in my life. But as we look at this verse here, it makes it clear that part of that peace that is the fruit of the Spirit is my relationship with you. I am at peace with my brothers and sisters in Christ. If I am going to be a member of you and you a member of me, members one of another, we will endeavor, we will work hard at being at peace with one another. It will grieve our soul when I know that there's a problem between me and a brother or sister in Christ. And we will do everything we can to make that relationship right before the Lord. Very important. So, notice here, let's go on to verse 13. Let's do that, all right? Let's go on to verse 13. Till we all come, all right? So the goal is, as we grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe I should start. Can we start at verse 11? Look back with me, Ephesians 4, verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastor teachers for the perfecting of the saints. This is the work of the ministry that goes on, all right? All these roles are driving us to, so that the saints are perfected, they're matured, for the work of the ministry, all right? I'm, as your pastor, I'm to prod you on to serve the Lord rightly, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. All these things are happening as we function together as members, one with another, and the goal is, verse 13, that's the verse we're looking at, till we all come in what? The unity of the faith. You see, one of the common notes, and this is not, you're going to have to write this extra, all right? One of the things that we unify around are really what is the core of our unity. What is it that we are unified about? It's what we believe, our faith. Our personalities may at times rub each other wrong, and we may have some unique personal applications of God's truth. If I can put it this way, some people are flamboyant. You know, if they ran VBS, they wouldn't just put up cardboard figures up here. They'd paint the whole back wall. And some of us go like, no, you don't know what you're going to have to do afterwards. And they just said, I don't care. This is cool. All right. That's not the kind of unity we're talking about. We're talking about that person that thinks painting the back wall is great and the other one that says, no, don't, should still believe the same truth from the Bible. And that draws our hearts together. You see, our goal is to know, and let's go on the rest of the verse. So till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect, a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see, those small things, paint the back wall or not paint the back wall, those small things become immaterial in our relationships with one another when you and I are like Christ. We're mature. So if both of those people understand that, wait a second, there's a preferences, but we must believe the Word of God and believe it wholly. That's why, for instance, we have a doctrinal statement for our church. We're not ambiguous about what we're firmly believing, what the Bible teaches us. And we ask, as people join us, will you submit to this statement? Because this is right from the Word of God, and we want you to live it out this way. And this is our core of the unity. So, you know, you may comb your hair this way or that way, but do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Those are really important things. So we draw this unity together around the very Word of God. Well, this is what I think it says. No, this is what it says, and that's where we're unified, all right? So we're members that we strive for unity. So therefore, here's our blanks finally, all right? We are not one member. We are one body. Those are those two blanks. We are not one member. We are one body. We are the body of Christ. And that's stressed very clearly in the 1 Corinthians 12 passage. We are the body of Christ, even in a local situation. Yes, I understand and know that Scripture teaches that we will be gathered together one day as believers, all of us. When the Lord returns, we were talking about that last night too in devotions, right? The rapture, praying that every day we need to pray, Lord, even so, come quickly. When that happens, the body of Christ will be all joined together in one final body. What a joy that will be. And we'll all believe the same thing. We'll be with Christ. Isn't that amazing? Yet, God has designed in this time that there are numerous local bodies of Christ. And we're one of them. Is Christ divided? No, he's not. He's got those things all figured out. But for us, we need to live in light of what God teaches us from his word. And let that be the core of our unity. So, no member takes preeminence at this point. We are concerned about the body. Even the pastor, though called by his role and responsibilities and by the calling of God in his life to lead, he is not the body. Believers, let me tell you, I don't hope so, but if I would die tonight, all right, this church body should go on and function well, because I'm not the head. Christ is. Oh, I guess in my heart of hearts, I hope that there will be a loss. I hope that I've functioned well in my role. But the body doesn't fall apart when one member is gone. That's important to see that. And so even in how we minister to one another, it's not about me or not about you. We want Christ to be exalted and the work of the ministry to press on. So whether I get recognition or not, that doesn't matter. Is God being glorified? Are people being saved? Are members, saints, being edified and growing in the Lord? Well, then I rejoice no matter what my role is. Really important to see this. Now, I did not read verse 16, but let's do this. For from whom the whole body, speaking of Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, we saw this last week, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. As we unite around our belief and then live those beliefs out as a church family, and as we minister and serve the Lord around the world even, we find ourselves growing spiritually. Lord willing, numerically as well, we're adding members. But we are edifying ourselves in love. Even through this challenging time, I trust that we are discovering and finding that we're growing in Christ together. Maybe have you had some phone conversations with brothers and sisters in Christ that normally you don't chat with, but you have since we've been under the quarantine, and you've learned something new and been a spiritual blessing? Just even the phone call to say, hey, I'm aware of you, I'm thinking of you, I'm praying for you. Being a builder up of the body of Christ here. You see, we continue to grow. So I hope even if we evaluate, look at our life today, right here, right now, and say, all right, compared to a year ago we were, yes, just gotten done with revival meetings. It would have been a year ago this coming Saturday we had work day. By the way, aren't you glad you get out all the work this year? Anyways, okay. Just a side note, a little bit of fun. We have some folks that have been very faithful, and I very much appreciate their labor of love around here. The place is looking wonderful, and I'm very grateful for it. Okay, that's an aside. But you stop and think, where were we at, you know, May of 2019? And I know we don't have the eyes of the Lord, but I think that we have been discovering that our church is growing in love. We've built each other. I feel spiritually stronger today than a year ago. Or maybe should I put it this way, more mature to fit very well in verse 13. Until we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God unto the perfect man. I feel like the Lord has grown me over this year. There's some things that He's balanced in my life a little bit better, at least from my evaluation. Now you say, Pastor, you got a long way to go. I know, okay? But I'm glad for that growth, and that's what happens as we are united, members one another. You've been helping me grow in the Lord. Thank you for that. So then, as we come to the end here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and maybe you want to turn real quick back there, I already alluded to it, but this is where we'll close up. Verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, 1 Corinthians 12, 25, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Verse 26 in particular talks about that reality that together we're greater than the sum of our parts. So when one of our members hurts, the prayer list, we hurt too. And it's not just one of these, oh, I need to care for them. But there's a reality that my heart aches with them together. Something greater than what was in my heart before I was saved. Clearly something greater than what was in my heart before I became a member of this church. I didn't know you. Now I do. And you're my brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a love for one another, and my heart aches with those aches. And yet, when we discover someone receiving some honor in the sense of he's been used of the Lord greatly in the work of the ministry, and we rejoice, we're grateful for the blessings of God that God has given him. For instance, I mentioned tonight Steve. We're rejoicing with him. I was so excited. He was one of the few that we could have here on Sunday, and to know that he's back at work and the Lord's providing for their needs. Praise the Lord. We rejoice in that. I will share another blessing tonight. So I heard back, I mentioned on Sunday, our church planting pastor, Nathan Barber, gave me a call today. We didn't cross, actually, like what are we, voice to ear. We got voicemails going anyways. They received the funds that we had sent them to try to be a help and blessing to them as they're having some financial struggles. And you could hear in his voice, even on the crackly voicemail, Pastor, please tell the church, thank you. This is such a blessing that you've been such a joy. They were honored. And we happen to be it's all more blessed to give than to receive, right? That's Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Anyway, what a joy to see that. And we rejoice with them. We are just exulting with them. We feel it with it. That is the part of the joy of our church family being more than just the sum of our parts. As we together strive to follow the Lord, become more like our Savior, helping each other perfect in our walk with the Lord, it is one of the most cherished gifts that we have to be members one of another. So, even in this time apart, let's work faithfully at it. I hope every day you're thinking, okay, who can I be a help and blessing to today in our church family? We got a card today. The kids got a card today in the mail. Oh, just a sweet encouragement card. Praise God, that was a blessing. And it wasn't even their birthday. Isn't that great, all right? So, what joy. Hey, we've got Mother's Day coming up on Sunday. You know, I don't think any one of our dear widow ladies would mind if you inundate them with phone calls and cards. To say, hey, I'll be your kid for the day. Now, I think almost all have kids and so forth, family, but that special joy, that blessing to hear, say, hey, and then don't forget your own mom. I'm telling myself that. Don't forget your own mom. Okay, so I bought her Mother's Day gift today. I'm starting down the right path. There we go. Okay, those are the types of things that we do to minister to one another, to be a blessing and have the joy of serving one another. So let's be found faithful this week as we finish out the week being members one of another. Let's close in word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this time together in your word. Thank you for the wonderful picture it is of being members one of another. Thank you for something supernatural that happens as we join together in fellowship and become members of a church and live out that unity in our lives. Lord, thank you for the joy it brings, for the comfort and encouragement it brings, for the burden bearing that goes on, and then for the growth in Christ, most importantly. Lord, thank you that this church family is being used of you in numerous ways to prod me on and to prod each other on in their walk with the Lord. May we continue to specifically work towards helping each other grow in Christ, which will build our unity. It'll help me to be more gracious and kind when I have something that frustrates me. It'll help me to interact well with my brother or sister in Christ and to love them well, even when something they do maybe bugs me a little bit. Lord, it'll help me to be forgiving when a brother or sister sins. So, Lord, help us to be members one of another. And, Lord, give us opportunity to demonstrate it face-to-face soon, and we'll rejoice in that. Help us the rest of this week to be found faithful to you. In your name we pray. Amen.